A lot of tech employees don't like the idea of their work being used by the military. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. A group of Microsoft employees have published an open letter to that company's leaders titled HoloLens for Good, Not War. HoloLens is Microsoft's augmented reality headset. The company signed a nearly $500 million contract with the Army to use the headset to train service members. Google and Amazon have also faced employee backlashes over military contracts. So we asked a former military leader what he thinks. Robert Latiff was a U.S. Air Force Major General and author of the book Future War, Preparing for the New Global Battlefield.
I actually think that there is a lack of understanding. So if we were asking the people at Google or Microsoft to build a bullet that exploded inside a person and just ripped them to shreds, that would be one thing. But we're not asking them to do that. We're asking them to provide data, information, make things better, more accurate. And at least a small group doesn't seem to be able to make that distinction. So they view every piece of defense work as killing babies, to use a phrase from when I was coming up through the military. And there's no fine distinctions there, all or nothing.
So then why do you think there's been this sort of recent outcry?
Well, it's a different kind of thing. So if the DOD, for instance, wants 10,000 computers, they'll go to Dell or whatever company it is and buy the computers. In this case, they actually asked the company to do something for them, research or an adaptation, which would provide a military capability.
What is the alternative, or what do we stand to lose if these companies don't modify this technology for military use or go forward with these contracts?
So I'll take the Google case, the Project Maven. I mean, on the surface, the DOD was asking Google to help them with using artificial intelligence technique for looking at photos, with the idea that they were going to make their targeting more efficient. And of course, the engineers at Google said, absolutely no way. We don't want to be involved in the drone missile strikes program. If you dig one level down, why wouldn't you want the Department of Defense to be more accurate? Would you rather the Department of Defense be killing innocent civilians by accident? So while on the surface it looks like at least a reasonable complaint from some engineers, I think it's wrongheaded.
One of the things that Kai Rizdahl over on Marketplace and my co-host on Make Me Smart often talks about is the way that the degree to which Americans are sort of increasingly uninvolved in the operation of the military. Like, you know, most Silicon Valley engineers don't know anyone who's in the military. And I wonder if some of this speaks to that separation.
Oh, it absolutely does. I spoke about this in my book at quite some length. The American public loves its military. They don't know anything at all about it. But yes, there is a distinct separation between the public and the military. And honestly, this group of engineers, both at Microsoft and at Google, it's a relatively small group of people when you consider the size of those organizations. And so I think they probably also represent a relatively small percentage of the public opinion.
Robert Latiff is a former U.S. Air Force Major General and author of the book Future War, Preparing for the New Global Battlefield. Earlier this month, President Trump signed an executive order making AI technology a priority in the U.S., and the Pentagon released an unclassified document calling for quick adoption of AI across the military. But both of those initiatives rely on working closely with private companies. And now for some related links. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is in Barcelona this week for the big telecommunications trade show, where the company released HoloLens 2 to rave reviews. And lots of people asked Nadella about the contract with the Pentagon. He said Microsoft is happy to, quote, engage in dialogue with our employees on a continuous basis, but said the company, quote, has made a principled decision that we are not going to withhold technology from institutions that we have elected in democracies to protect the freedoms we enjoy. Your thoughts? Email us, mptech@marketplace.org. And speaking of your emails, we got a good one on data privacy. But a reminder before we get to it, that today, Wednesday, is the Senate Commerce Committee hearing on that topic. The House held a hearing yesterday, and it got kind of rip-roaring for, you know, committee hearings. Witnesses representing the tech and advertising industry are mostly arguing for a federal law that would preempt any state laws and would really be based on the companies regulating themselves. Privacy advocates mostly disagreed. But as Axios points out, so far, it's only a handful of states and not the federal government that have enacted any privacy legislation at all. And when we've seen companies make any privacy changes, it's because they got called out by the press or they had to comply with Europe's GDPR. Anyway, listener Matthew Gale decided to help everybody out by writing a brand new amendment to the Constitution. I mean, that's moxie, kid. He says he tried to make it sound all, quote, constitutional-ish. It says, no individual, private entity, or public entity shall infringe on the right of any citizen, the right to keep private, even if shared with any second party or hired entity, personal thought, act, information, communication, or image. This right shall extend to the citizen owners of such thought, act, information, communication, or image, unless the citizen owner purposefully and expressly enters the thought, act, information, communication, or image into the public domain. And then he writes, how exactly does one get an amendment ratified? I believe Schoolhouse Rock is the place to start here, Matt, but I'm feeling this idea. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.